The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the three-year show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Apprentice Dan.
Ryan Pills.
Amy Eggs.
And Larry the Intern.
In the house! Larry, it's so good to have you back.
Wait, Larry the Intern?
You look different.
Not that Larry.
No, the new Larry. So we've gone out with the old Larry and in with the new Larry. Larry and Amy joined us for our Gen Con CGE Game Day, which was this 2 weeks ago now. I'm sure we'll talk about some Gen Con adventures during the episode, but we want to welcome them officially as interns to the house. They're going to be running our Twitch channel, so check out Tantrum House's new Twitch channel hosted by Amy and Larry.
The Tantrum House Twitch just sounds cool.
It does have some nice alliteration going on. Now, the next thing we need to talk about before we talk about all the sweet games we've been playing and CGE is, what are we going to call this new studio?
Do we have, like, a list?
There is.
Christmas in July on our three-year episode. Perfect.
August.
Yeah, we're in August, Will.
That's okay. It's
I feel like it could still be July.
Better late than never.
It was just July. Close enough.
Right.
It's close enough.
They don't know when we recorded.
All right, give us our top.
I mean, everyone in the room does.
We surveyed 100 people, and the top five answers on the house are... Four answers in the house are...
Aloha Studios, Digital Studios, Cyber Studio, or Studio 808.
808
is Hawaii,
by
the way.
So Larry is from Hawaii, and Amy is now from Greenville.
Since Larry.
Perfect. I like the sound of Studio Aloha. I'm a little partial to that.
You're
Aloha Studio? Flipping it on us, huh? Are they allowed to do that, you guys?
They can do whatever they
who
want.
Makes these
because
rules?
Ryan and Katie made up rules.
Studio
too.
Awesome. Bah, bah, bah. Well, cool. So we have a little bit of time because there's nothing happening just yet. So if you listen to this episode and you have a favorite and you're like, Studio 808 is where it's at.
Vote in the comments.
Yeah, and the emails. Don't send an email to Larry or Amy yet because their email hasn't been set up yet. But you can email Sarah, our favorite email.
Sarah, S-A-R-A, at tantrumhouse.com with your vote now.
One of the other things that we want you guys' feedback on is our big three-year survey. So we've been doing our podcast for 3 years every single Monday without fail.
Weekly.
Is that what I said?
You did, but I'm just emphasizing that.
Blows my own mind that we haven't missed a Monday. That's fantastic.
We've cheated,
but it's happened. No one knows that we cheated until you just said that.
Now they do.
Now they know.
We know you cheat, Will. We know you cheat.
This is true. We pre-recorded a couple episodes to get through the holidays, but we are going to be putting out a survey. We'll give you more information on that at the end of the episode, but we have a really sweet prize pack that we're going to be giving away. We're going to do a drawing for someone who submits their survey responses. So we'll tell you how to get to that, tell you what the giveaway is, but you're going to have to wait until the end of the episode because now we got to talk about some sweet games that we've been playing. What did you guys get out onto the table this week?
Games.
So Ryan, Amy, and I got Apollo to the table tonight.
Ooh.
And it was a learning game. We kind of learned as we went. And Amy and I pulled it off right at the end. We lost communication with Mission Control.
Didn't need it.
But we didn't need it because we were able to come back to Earth safely, and we completed all the experiments we needed to right down to the last die. We had a critical fail. Mission Control had to fix some stuff with communication.
Yeah, the crisis puzzle
is hard,
especially when you're not doing it right.
Is this cooperative, it sounded like?
It is cooperative.
Yeah, It would be difficult if it was competitive because Mission Control wants the astronauts to come home. But if it was where Mission Control was trying to keep them away, that would be interesting.
Oh, twist.
But there's some hidden information because you have a sort of a board, like a GM board, right?
Yeah, there's a part of Mission Control's board gives you some information, but it's mostly there to screen the experiment cards so the astronauts can't see it. Because throughout the game, when the astronauts give comm tokens to Mission Control can communicate one piece of information about an experiment they have to run. So it can be the color of the dice or the value or the quantity. Or Mission Control can use those dice communication tokens to do other things. But ultimately, he's trying to relay the experiment information so that they can redeem the dice and actually win the game. If they don't complete enough experiments before they land, they fail.
Hmm. So just to clarify, how many experiments do we need to complete?
Yeah, so in the main game, it's 8. 3 experiments. But in the starter game, the Gemini missions, it's only 2. However, it's not necessarily apparent that it's only 2 because there's 8 cards. And I missed, I don't know if I missed it in the setup, or if it was just later, but I did read under the experiment section of the astronauts board that they only have to complete 2.
When did you find this out, Ryan?
About 3/4 of the way through.
Yep. Amy and I are panicking because we're like, it took us almost one entire orbit around the Earth to do one experiment.
7 more.
Yeah. Just, oh, only 8. 7
feel
more.
A bit like Apollo 11. Is that the one
yes,
that had all
it
the
felt
problems?
A little bit more like that, even though we were on the Gemini.
This is the new one from Buffalo Games from designer Jonathan Gilmore and Sarah Addison. And it sounds like you guys were having a lot of fun out there. So glad to hear you survived by the skin of your teeth.
Yep, we did.
Now, in here, some of you were playing a game and I think we had some musical chairs at the beginning of the podcast because Larry did not want to sit next to Dan anymore. What
Larry,
happened
hey Larry,
in this game?
Larry, why didn't you want to sit next to me?
I don't remember.
So we played a game. Help me out. Was it Ganesha? Ganesha?
I believe so, yeah. Ganesha?
How do you pronounce it, Will?
Chocolate. Ganache.
Right. It's from Crowd D Games, and it's actually available overseas right now. It's coming to the U.S., I think, like in September. I should probably look that up. It's an interesting game. It's got an Indian theme to it. You've got these cool
mandala art pieces.
Yeah. These really cool circle boards that have lots of cool, intricate designs on them. And throughout the course of the game, you're going to be collecting jewels on your turn. You have kind of 2 slots that you can move them in and out of, and then you've got to lay those jewels out onto the board, and each jewel that you lay will be worth a different point value. So you got to kind of look ahead and figure out where you're going to be able to collect the most jewels. One of the most interesting things in the game is that you can only select jewels from the altar board, I think is what it's called, if you have... Oh, I'm sorry. This is actually not true. This is what we thought the rules were.
Oh, there's
halfway
a lot of that tonight.
Happens everywhere.
We thought you could only choose 2 jewels if the jewels matched the top jewels on your personal board, which made poor Jonah like go crazy.
He was about to flip the table.
The first game, he was not doing so hot. But Dan managed to do well both games.
Yeah,
tell us your strategy.
Well, the first game, I figured out what I was doing about 3/4 of the way through. But hey. You know, I came away with a win.
As we all did, yeah. We didn't come away with a win.
The second one, I don't know. It's just all of a sudden, the game actually goes pretty quickly. The rounds are pretty fast. We got to the end, and I realized, oh, wait, I have like 7-8 gems left. And at the end of the game, your gems get placed out on whatever remaining score tracks are available. And so I racked up all these points, and Larry was way ahead. Like I will say,
I walked by, I was like, "Oh, Larry has this one in the bag." He was like the other side of the board, point wise.
Yeah, a good 20-30 point lead on us.
And
then all of a sudden, I got 21 points and beat Larry by 1. So he's a little salty over that one.
Mm. Salty Larry.
The new intern name. Jonah, I did have a good time playing it. He did not do well either round. And I think by the end of the second round, we finally figured out how to really play it. So probably going to have to play another round sometime soon. Really gorgeous art, though. Beautiful colors. The gems for it were unique. And by that, I don't really know what I mean, but it seems like a lot of games use that same gem mold. You know what I'm talking about.
We know what you're talking about.
This is different. It's a different shape. I liked it. It looked fresh on the board.
All the gems were different from each other, or they were all the same shape? They were all a new mold.
Yeah, different colors, new mold. It just felt fresh. It looked
really good. But they were all the same shape.
Okay. Thank you, Dan and Larry. I appreciate that.
Good clarification. We also got to play No Thanks.
No Thanks.
Tell us about that one.
This is a 3-7 player game where you are drawing a card, and either on your turn you take the card or you say no thanks and you place a token, hopefully that you have in your hand, onto that card, and it goes to the next player. It basically goes around and around the table until someone takes that card. There are numbers from 3 to 35. You don't want number points. You don't want points. The tokens in your hand count as negative points. So if there's like 10 tokens on a card, it's basically you're getting those negative points, which are helping you in the game.
Yes, and you want the tokens too, because if you run out of tokens, you have to take the card. You cannot say no thanks. And if that happens on a high value card.
Yeah, tell us about this, Dan.
Yeah. Poor Jonah's not here. Well, maybe that's why he
twice
left.
Yeah, no doubt. Twice in a row.
See, my wife was here with our kids, so she walked in. I was like, hey, Amy, you'd like this. So she jumped in not knowing what to do, and she took some, like, 32,
yeah, I think so.
Pointers.
Second
turn. Like, no,
there's
no,
a lot
no,
of tokens
you don't
on that
to do
one.
That. But I could tell she was having a lot of fun. It's definitely an easy game to jump into, figure out what you're doing. It was a lot of fun.
I was mostly just impressed by the amount of smack Amy was talking.
Yes.
Two Amys, another Amy.
Oh, she can.
I was like, Amy, it wasn't even part of this game.
And since Jonah's not here after our...
yet.
After Ganesha.
Ganesha.
Ganesha, that game. Jonah saw this and he's like, oh, this is my game. I'm going to own this game. And he just, poor guy, he got destroyed.
Because Dan kept taking the cards.
Dan and Amy, she's like, oh, this messes Jonah up. Okay, I'll take it. She didn't really care if she was going to lose. It was
right.
Just, it was hate drafting at its finest.
It was.
One of the things you do need in the game are runs, because if you can get like 10, 11, 12, the 11 and 12 do not count against you. You only count the lowest card in that run, which is super helpful. But if you have like the 14 and the 16, or what do you have?
Yeah, 14 and 16, 15 not even in the deck.
It's because you take out 9 cards at the beginning, so you can't. It's not guaranteed that the card you need to make your run is even in the deck. Yeah,
the beauty was that even with my 30 points, I didn't have half of what Jonah had with his 35-pointer.
Or Larry.
Yeah, oh, Larry.
Yeah. I forgot we were playing Golf Score.
Oh, it happens.
70 what, Larry?
73?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beat that.
Oh, yeah. Will, you played another game this past week with your boys,
we
right?
We did get one in, and it was super great. I'm glad I was just reminded by Melissa's awesome shirt that she has on. She's wearing the Mystery Machine. We played the new Scooby-Doo Escape the Haunted, or from Escape from the Haunted Mansion. Close enough.
You're reading it right back here.
I am. I'm reading it poorly. The words in the little square are hard to read. From The Op, it's a escape room themed with Scooby-Doo, which is perfect. The game plays, I think you guys maybe talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, and it sounded interesting when you guys were explaining it, but then when we actually got to play it with the kids, which was great, the writing for the game is just so perfect that as I'm reading, like, you know, Shaggy, like, guys, I got, you know, I want to impersonate it, but I can't. I'm just so poor at it. But playing the game, I could hear every voice in my head, so it was like I was watching the cartoon trying to figure out which one of these four obvious suspects is the criminal. And then watching my kids do the same thing, it was hilarious. I'm going to, a little spoiler alert. Ryan was reaching for the button. I could see it.
Do it, Ryan. Spoiler alert.
Do it. As we walked into the second room in the escape room, there's a giant piano illustration on the page. And Xander, our youngest, immediately says, Dad, I bet Shaggy is in the piano.
Like, what?
What? Why would he be in
right.
the piano?
Like, maybe. I don't know.
Because you start off, everybody walks in, and then...
Don't spoil too much.
Well, this is how the game starts. Everybody walks into this mansion, and then...
The lights go out.
The lights go out, like, every episode, and they're all split up, like, every episode. So, we had to go around and help find everybody. And, yeah, first thing out of his mouth... Shaggy's in the piano. It's what happens every time. We're like, what?
Yeah.
He's also, look at these cards. There's these things here. That yeah. These are the puzzle. I'm going to just solve it right now without the instructions. What?
Speaking of instructions, Melissa did a sweet how to play video.
She did, which I this. Watched after.
Yeah, come on, Will.
But it was great. It actually really did walk you through the game perfectly. If you are going to play Escape from the Haunted Mansion, just go look up the Tantrum House How to Play video. You can watch it in 6 minutes or something. It gives you all the information you need for the whole game.
It doesn't spoil anything.
Nope. Perfect walkthrough. Really great. And I should have done that instead of reading the rules. It was fun, though. It was predictable in good ways, but still twists, still puzzles, still lots of good things to solve, lots of surprises, but fit really perfectly. Just a lot of fun to play.
Well, we're talking about escape room type games. My wife and I, Amy, not Amy Eggs, played Breakin' Alcatraz by Play Monster Games. It's out now. You can find it at Walmart, Target, that kind of place. The idea is, I mean, it's kind of like a puzzle escape type game. That's what it is. But you're trying to get into Alcatraz, and then the box is pretty cool. It unfolds, and then there's a box inside the box that unfolds, and then you open up another box. Solving puzzles. We had a lot of fun with it. Definitely one that we enjoyed.
That one has like a weird shaped box, right?
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know.
Hexagon?
Hexagon, yeah.
How similar is it to the movie The Rock?
I actually haven't seen The Rock.
Are there like green marbles that you have to not?
No.
Because that's the only time I've seen someone try to break into Alcatraz.
I don't know. Supposedly it's based on a breakout attempt in 1962. I don't know the details
when
of
Sean
that.
Connery tried to escape from the... Excellent stuff. Excellent. Well, I think we should take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Bezier Games. Their game, Ultimate Werewolf Extreme, is on Kickstarter right now. And Kev and I had a chance to talk with Ted Alsbach, the president of the company. And he had some interesting things to share about the game and some other stuff coming from Bezier.
Let's welcome him to the house.
Hey!
Hey, I am so happy to be here.
Welcome, I should say welcome back to the house since you've been on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
We have you on the show because you have a game coming to Kickstarter called Ultimate Werewolf Extreme.
Yeah, this is exciting stuff. So, you know, for people who know Bezier Games, this is kind of, you know, we kind of do some werewolf things occasionally. So some people know us for that. And Ultimate Werewolf was one of the first game we actually got professionally produced. Originally, the very first version of it we called now the white box version, which was one that I handmade. I'd have a printer and I printed out cards and I cut them and I made boxes that were really flimsy and terrible, and I put them together and I sold them and I made like 800 copies that way. And it was and I think back on it, I'm like surprised that I was able to do that at all, but I did. And at that point I realized, I should make these things for real. And so we ended up making our first real game, which was Ultimate Werewolf Ultimate Edition. And that was back in 2008. And then five or 6 years after that, we did the deluxe edition. So we upgraded the art a little bit and added some roles and kind of clarified a bunch of things. And so here we are again, 6 years later, and we've done even more exciting stuff to it.
Yeah, I was doing a little research on this game. Number one, it says 3 to 25 players. That's normal, right? Like Werewolf can normally play up to that number of players, correct?
Yeah. In the past, what we've put on a box, and I've always felt bad about this, technically, you can play with as many people as you want to, as long as you have enough cards, right? It's just not fun once you get above 25 or 30 in the same game. I mean, it can be, if you do it once, you know, and once every 6 months or a year, okay, it's fine, but you don't want to do it on a regular basis. We set it 25, you know, we've been kind of trying to figure out what's the optimal number. And some people are like, they never want to go above 20. I personally think 25 is a lot, but it still can be a lot of fun and a good solid game. And that sounds ridiculous for most board games because you never get above, you know, 10 ever. But this for Ultimate Werewolf, you can have that many people, and yes, you can have more. And technically, there's enough cards in the box that you could play three simultaneous games. So it does really support 75 players, But it was a little misleading before because we said 75, and I quit. Like I said, kind of felt bad about that because it's really, we really are 25 players is really where you want to stop at.
We were talking to Will's kids, and we asked them because they play Werewolf a lot. The number of players that they think that they played, like what's the most number? And one of them said 18, and the other one said they think 20. So 18 or 20, like that's a lot.
It sounds like the different ways. A lot of times kids will play. A lot of times their teachers will have them play, which is awesome. It's just a really interesting dynamic to play, and I think the teachers have a lot of fun moderating that. And we also find a lot of like church groups and youth groups will play, and camps that people kids will play. So a lot of kids have learned from various different types of the places they've gone to, including schools.
Cool. Tell me about these new abilities, the Ivory Tower, the charms, and the sandwiches.
Yeah. So we got this. This is so cool. So these are items. And we had some similar items in Ultimate Werewolf Legacy, which came out a few years ago.
I thought the Earl of Sandwich sounded familiar to me.
Yes. The Earl of Sandwich would bequeath sandwiches upon people. People like that a lot. And the fun thing about sandwiches is if you happen to be the first werewolf eliminated out of the game, if you happen to be the first player eliminated out of the game, regardless of how you're eliminated, then you get to give a sandwich to someone. And what the sandwich does, it protects you from a werewolf at night. If a werewolf attacks you at night, instead of eating you, you just show them that sandwich and they're like, oh, sandwich. Fantastic. I have to admit, it doesn't make as much mess. Tastes good. I'll just eat that instead of you. So it protects them for one night. If they happen to be targeted by werewolves. So that's kind of handy. It can be given to anyone. Of course, the player that is giving it has already been eliminated from the game and they don't know anything yet. So they're just giving it to someone that they think is valuable to the village, but they could just give it to another werewolf. I mean, you never really know. But that player.
So who knew that werewolves loved sandwiches?
It just makes sense though, right? I mean, who doesn't love sandwiches? Werewolves are certainly they're not going to turn down a big tasty sandwich. So what's really cool about this is in the past, we've had these as just like cardboard printouts and people would just hold them. But we're actually doing 3D minis for these. And this sandwich is insane. It is like stuffed full of meat. It's like one of those giant Dagwood Bumstead sandwiches. It's crazy.
That's cool.
That is cool. Another feature that we were reading about that sounds really cool is the app integration with this one. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this is something I've been wanting to do for a while, and I'm really excited we came up with this great solution on how to do this, which is how to make moderating easier by using an app as opposed to having an app that kind of just may automate a few things for you, but doesn't really make it easier. And this app will do that. It starts out by scanning the players, it's in a detector faces. We have a place they can write their name. It's going to automatically read in what their name is into the app. And it'll also read the back of their card. We have a little QR code on there that is indecipherable by humans, but cameras, of course, can pick it up. And it will figure out what the role is. So the moderator can walk around, hold their camera up to any player who has a card, and it'll put their face, their name, and their role directly into the app instead of having to go through kind of a tedious first night process of, okay, you people wake up, let me write your names down, hold on, and then going back and forth. And then, of course, if a moderator isn't as familiar with the people, it's really hard because, you know, I know what I do whenever I'm moderating with people I don't know. I try to describe them like Richard or, funky glasses, you know, whatever. And that's awkward then too, when that person is eliminated, you're like, funky glasses person, you're out. That's weird. But this will actually put the little picture of them and their name and whatever role they are. So it puts that into the app, which is great. Puts them also into the player order. Like as you can scan them in a circle and it'll actually record them in a circle, which is cool. And then that's step one. Step two is it actually then helps you run the game. So it'll go through each day and have a timer to help you know like when you should be moving the village along. And at nighttime, it'll go through all the special actions for all those roles that you've already scanned. So it knows if you have like a witch or something that she's going to get up and she has the chance to save someone who's been targeted by the werewolves, it'll remind you to do that. And it'll also tell you, it'll track all of those things for you so you don't forget in the next morning, whatever happens, the previous night. Again, sometimes that can be hard to track. The app will do that for you, so you'll have that. And if you're really, really, really super lazy like me, you can just have it do all the narration for you. So instead of you as the moderator saying, hey, werewolves, you know, pick a target. You can have Eric Sommer, who did the One Night app voice. He's doing the app voice for this, and he's going to actually say, werewolves, wake up and choose a target, which is really fun.
Yeah, that sounds especially great for, as you were saying, instances where you're playing with a big group and not everyone knows everyone. So a convention or even like a youth group or something when people are still getting to know each other.
Yep, absolutely. The bigger the crowd, the more you know, different roles that you have in there, the more this is helpful. When you're playing with, you know, up to 10 people and you know them all, you probably don't need that. And we still have a little moderator pad that you can jot down things real quick. And that's easy. But once you get up into the larger numbers of players, that I think the app's going to be invaluable to moderators.
Cool. The Kickstarter campaign launches August 4th, correct?
That is correct. Very, very excited. I believe it's 9 a.m. Eastern.
This podcast will probably air, this episode will probably air after you already launched. So hopefully you're already funded. Is there anything that you'd like to share about the campaign with our listeners?
Oh, yeah. We have just a very, very exciting campaign. And, you know, we try to make, you know, we do Kickstarters. The main reason we do Kickstarters is to be able to give back things to our fans and people who like our games that we just normally couldn't do in a regular retail edition of the game. So we have all sorts of special things for people who back the project, not just a lot of extra roll cards. And there's a ton of those that are going to be hopefully unlocked through stretch goals, although, well, we're calling them stretch rolls. It's kind of fun. But we've got all sorts of great stuff. We've got Game Tries organizers to organize all of your cards. We've got a portable deck box, like a plastic deck box, so you like have an on-the-go, like small version of it. We've got slap bracelets for elimination. So instead of just saying you're eliminated and you've got to leave the circle, the moderator walks over to you with a slap bracelet, which is a little terrifying. Like, what are you doing, sir? puts it on your wrist, and now everyone knows that you're eliminated. A lot of other really, really cool stuff in there. Like I said, 3D minis, just super, super fun things for this. So we're really, really excited.
Cool. I'm excited about this Ultimate Werewolf Extreme on Kickstarter, August 4th. It's already launched when you're listening to this. So check it out on Kickstarter from Bezier Games. Before we say goodbye to you, Ted, I know there's other games outside of Kickstarter that are going to retail, like Whistle Mountain. That pre-order, is it still up or is it just finished?
Pre-order still up for that. That should be out in October or November. I'm not sure exactly when. You know, everything's been a little delayed this year, unfortunately.
Sure. And then pre-orders go up for Maglev Metro sometime this fall as well?
Yeah, pre-orders are already available for that. So you can jump on the website.
Oh, they're both available.
Grab that. And anyone who goes to our website, they can become a Wolfpack member. They get 10% off all pre-orders and they get priority shipping. So good stuff.
Yeah, that's... I like the new Wolfpack thing that you have going on. So we were able to play both Whistle Mountain and Maglev Metro. I don't know if I can like say which one I like better yet. I have to probably play them a little bit more before I could like pick favorite.
Yeah, I enjoyed them both too.
That's cool. That's awesome. I'm glad you guys had a chance to do that. Yeah, it's good that we had. I know Matt came out to see you guys with those. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. If you have not checked out our video, Whistle Mountain, check that out on our YouTube channel because we did a playthrough of that, and hopefully we can do a video on Maglev Metro when that's available. But Maglev Metro is really, really cool. If you just want to give like a 30-second one or 1 minute like sort of overview of what Maglev Metro is, Ted, for our listeners, that'd be awesome.
Sure. Maglev Metro is a pick up and deliver train game that takes place, of course, in a subway environment. It's got all sorts of amazing components in addition to being just a fun game. It's got transparent track tiles. I just was looking at the very first sample of the final ones the other day, and they're incredible. They're these thick plastic tiles that have subway tracks on them. So you can stack multiple different colored tracks on top of each other. And then when you're done, it actually looks like a subway map, which is really, really cool. But it's an engine building game. It's pick up and deliver. It's tiling. It's all sorts of a lot of fun stuff that I know I really like in games. So I am super, super excited for that to come out later this year.
Yeah, and I really liked those transparent tiles because you're not blocking anyone. You can still build even if someone else has built their track in the same spot.
Yep, absolutely. I am definitely a pure Euro gamer at heart. And, you know, I try to avoid most conflict type of things in my games. And for both Whistle Mountain and Maglev, there's definitely player interaction, but there's not getting in someone's way or wrecking their life because, you know, you decide you want to put down a tile in some place where they wanted to go. So
The one thing I really like about Maglev Metro is the engine building aspect. I like engine building games, so I really like how that's integrated into the game.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited about that too. My very first engine building game that I did is not very well known. It's called Perpetual Motion Machine, and I've always wanted to do like a bigger box strategy game that had engine building, and this is kind of the first one that I really think has that sort of aspect to it. And so I'm super excited about how we pulled this off. And that part excites me too. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like I look between the root building and the pick up and deliver and trying to strategize it and figure that out along with that engine building at the same time. And that kind of like hits all the right spots for me.
Yeah, it does. All right. So one more time for our listeners, the Kickstarter for Ultimate War of Extreme is on Kickstarter. Check it out. From Bezier Games, and then you can check out these new games to pre-order, I guess, on beziergames.com.
That's
it. Is that the right I had to make sure I had the right website.
Yeah.
And that is for Whistle Mountain and for Maglev Metro. You can check both of those out on their website. Ted, it's been great having you on the show. We look forward to next time, and good luck with the campaign.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Bye.
It's great having Ted on the show, as always, and we're thankful that they are a sponsor of our podcast, 3 years old.
Woo! Hard to believe, and it was cool to hear about some of the other games they've got going on right now. I believe some of those were shown off during Gen Con this past week. Why don't we kick over to the news to talk a little bit more about that.
This week in the news, we have everything Gen Con. Not everything Gen Con. We're going to talk about three different news items. The first is the Fantasy Flight in-flight report, and they do this every year at Gen Con. Of course, it was a little bit different this year because there was no in-person Gen Con, but
reasons.
They did it. Yeah, I know, because reasons. They did it online. Of course, they talked about a host of new Star Wars stuff that I'm sure Ryan would find very interesting, some Armada stuff. I sort of glossed over that. But anyway, sorry, Ryan. There is an expansion to Twilight Imperium 4 coming, if you're interested in that. Some new stuff for Keyforge. Some pretty cool, like, underwater stuff, if you heard about that. And Marvel Champions, new things for Marvel Champions. Has anybody played Marvel Champions here? Dan has?
Anyone?
No, I haven't. Okay,
Dan. All right. And there is a new game called Marvel X-Men Mutant Insurrection. This is designed by our
friend. Can you say that one more time? Mutant Insurrection, sure. X-Men.
Marvel X-Men.
Marvel X-Men.
Mutant. Insurrection.
Got it.
Okay. This is designed by our friend Richard Lanius, and I believe some of the base mechanics might be similar to Elder Sign.
Wait, is this the one I playtested?
Yes.
Oh, it's awesome, you guys.
Yeah. It's it.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, no. This is not the campaign one.
Not the secret one. Yeah. That's
one
still
also...
secret.
Whoops.
Good thing no one listens to this.
Right. Perfect.
All right.
Keep on going.
Keep on going. And Melissa has our second news item.
Repost Production is doing a new edition of Seven Wonders. So this is a visual redesign. So the cover's slightly different. The cards, the wonders, the insert, everything has been redesigned and the rules have been reformatted to make it easier and more accessible to new players. And they've also worked hard to adapt the game for colorblind players. But basically, it's the same game, just a redesign of the look and the accessibility.
For our third item, this is from Board and Dice. They made some announcements. If you're familiar with the game Teotihuacan, there is a third and last expansion to that game, and it's called the Expansion Period. And yes, yeah, some new modules for that game. They also announced their next T game because they really like hard names that start with T.
Right.
And their new announcement is called Tabanussi, Tabanussi. And that is the Builders of Ur is the tagline for that game. And that is another game from the same team that's brought you Teotihuacan and Trismegistus. And that will actually be a Kickstarter coming next March or April. So look forward to that. And it looks like another dice worker placement sort of game, I believe. So those are your things from the news.
Time for that Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode will be talking about five games coming to Kickstarter the week of August 10th, 2020. Kevin, start us off.
There is an expansion from Colossal Games for the game Western Legends. This expansion is called Blood Money. If you're not familiar with Western Legends, this is a game for 2 to 6 players. It is a sandbox-type game where players are basically running around as cowboys, and they are trying to get the most legendary points. This adds a lot of a few new things to the game. One of the major things that Blood Money is bringing is a new story deck element that I think really refines that story element to the game and the narrative element. And I think that is much, much better. The other thing that this game, the expansion, brings is a risk die that lets you basically move a little bit better around the board. The map has so much more areas that you can go to and do a lot more things on the map that the risk die helps you move a little bit. But there's a risk, since it's called the risk die, of getting some like blood, some hurt, injury to yourself. So you have to be careful of that. The other major thing that Blood Money brings is some land deeds. So you can purchase deeds of the different locations, and that will help you get points as well. So those are the three major things. I did a video preview on our YouTube channel that should go live this week as well, that you can check out.
I'm going to have to check that one out, because everything you just said sounded perfect to me. Western Legends is such a huge game that I thought if they added another board to that with more places to go, you got to be kidding me. But being able to move faster, perfect story, awesome. Sounds good. I'm going to check it out.
Cool. Dan.
All right, coming on August 11th, we have Fairy Unicorn Mermaid Princess Kitten.
What?
I'm not saying that again. Or Fump. You could call it Fump if you desire. It is a set collection game where basically think Go Fish, but instead of just collecting the same number or whatever it is, you're trying to collect a set that the princess has symbols for. So like maybe the princess is looking for a fairy and a unicorn. You have to try and get that princess, a fairy, and a unicorn in order to play it and get points. It's definitely marketed for young kids. My 6-year-old girl played it, and she loved it. She thought the art was great. You've got cute things like a merkitten and a fair maid and, you know, different combinations of that. It is by Ben Hoban and Summit Drive Games. It's just a fun, light, family-friendly set collection type of game. Again, that's Fairy Unicorn Mermaid Sarah.
I was going to say, the art is Mermaid like Sarah. The most adorable I've seen.
It is.
For
it
a
is.
Little card game.
Yeah.
And, Fairy Mermaid and I just saw the prototype art. I didn't even see the finalized stuff. So for younger kids, family game, it's pretty cute.
Yeah. When I, you know, obviously the direct comparison is Go Fish. My 4-year-old can play Go Fish. She struggled a little bit more with this just because you're looking for specific things. That are a little more advanced, but my 6-year-old jumped right in and she had a blast with it. So definitely, you know, it's a 15-minute game, great filler for a family. Fairy Unicorn Mermaid Princess Kitten by Summit Drive Games.
My first reaction when I heard the name was, no one is ever going to be able to find this when they Google it or look it up on Kickstarter. But then I realized, if anyone is ever looking for a girl unicorn game, poof, it's going to pop up. Girl kitten game, poof, pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, like, they may have actually nailed it on the SEO. Good job.
All right, Ryan, what do you got for us?
Coming August 10th from Game Brewer is Arkwright the Card Game. This is a re-implementation of Capstone Games, their game Arkwright. In the original Arkwright, you are building
factories and hiring workers and just trying to build the best factory that you can sell for the highest value stock at the end of the game. And this is that again, but now in a much more palatable form. The original game was very heavy Euro. It was 2 to 4 hours. This one is more like an hour to 2 hours maybe. And it's a card game instead of the massive amount of little cubes. And it's almost like a spreadsheet, the original game. Like, it's just...
sounds enthralling.
If you like spreadsheets, you might like Arkwright. So
Dan just got excited. Yeah.
But Arkwright, the card game, looks like it's compacted down the gameplay. You're still hiring employees and building factories, and you're still trying to do the same thing over the course of 3 years, 4 rounds each year, and then selling it all off at the end, and whoever makes the most money wins. So the original Arkwright did win some awards, so I think this is going to turn out to be a pretty cool game. Check it out, August 10th, Arkwright the Card Game. Sarah, what do you got?
Coming August 11th is Nova Lux from designer Max Robbins from Dragon's Egg Games. This is a 1 to 6 player resource management game. You will set up the game laying out a grid of cards that represent areas of the galaxy, and then on those you'll place stars, and some of them will be available to move to. You'll start out moving your ship. You'll have some three different aliens that you will be trying to set up that species on a planet or star system, giving them the resources they need to survive. So you will go around collecting resources. You have your own player board that tracks the different resources you're going to be trying to harvest things from the stars that are dying to gain the resources you need for these specific things. So sometimes you can gain things on other players' turns. Sometimes you can battle it out if you happen to be on a space with another player and hopefully gain a couple resources off of them. So ultimately, you are trying to get these three different races set up to survive, even if there are collapsing stars. So interesting little moving around a grid and collecting resources, managing those resources, trading resources for other resources. That is Nova Lux coming August 11th. Will.
I'm looking at the new expansion to the game Endangered from Grand Gamers Guild. The new expansion is called New Species, and it will add 7 new species to the game. So in the original, you played with 2 different species that you were trying to save. In this one, they're going to add a bunch of new ones. This is from designer Joe Hopkins, and you're going to have the base game to be able to play. It's a 1 to 5 player game. It takes about 60 to 90 minutes. We've actually got Mark Spector, the owner of Grand Gamers Guild, here to chat with us about the game. So let's welcome him to the house.
Hey!
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us for our 3-year episode.
Woo-hoo!
I believe you're probably
exciting to be here.
Is this your 3rd time on the show? Let's say yes.
That sounds about right. I think so.
I don't know for sure. I know you've been with us, but in the past, we've always had a blast hanging out. So thank you so much for joining us yet again for another episode. This time, specifically, we're talking about the new Endangered expansion. Let's jump into that so we can cover the important details. And then I think we definitely got to just chat and catch up on some stuff. But tell us about what you got coming to Kickstarter.
Sure. So on Tuesday, August 11th, we'll be launching the expansion to Endangered, which is called New Species. And if you're familiar with Endangered, you know that the base game box came with both tigers and sea otters, taking advantage of the land and sea sides of the board, double-sided mm-hmm. board. And this puts a whole bunch of new creatures in the mix, some land creatures, some sea creatures. And, essentially there's, let me think here. We have elephants and polar bears and there's
sea turtles.
What was that?
Sea turtles.
Sea turtles. Yes. Thank you. You're paying attention. I appreciate that. And then there's also, we revealed the first double animal scenario, which is jaguar and tapir. So there's a sort of a interdependence there that we'll be highlighting in that scenario.
Very cool. Lots of cool. It looks like some wooden meeples coming with it. Some new player boards. Is this a player count expansion as well, or just additional gameplay?
So there's going to be four new animal scenarios automatically included in the box out of the gate as part of the launch. And then there will be additional content, including additional animals, available through the stretch goals. If anyone paid attention to the Grinto campaign, you may know I'm not a tremendous fan of stretch goals. Grinto was such a blessing of a campaign to run because it wasn't really a game that lent to stretch goals. Mm-hmm. Endangered is not that case. And I have been working hard to put together a campaign that keeps them under control, let's say. So there will be stretch goals. Some of those are the animal scenarios, and some of those are additional content that will add to the gameplay. What you might be referring to, though, also is an additional role in the game called the celebrity. Even though Endangered will stay as a 5-player game, because to go to 6 really just undermines the overall experience, we did add in a role called the celebrity that we never managed to reach in the initial campaign, but for which we had the art done and we were all ready to produce. It has been a print and play available through my website for a couple bucks for a few months now. And that is something that we have heard in particular people have had fun playing with. And we're going to bring that to fruition in a published part of the content. And that will be exclusive to the Kickstarter. What I mean by that is that Kickstarter backers will get that in their box as part of the campaign. It's not a stretch goal. And we, of course, reserve the right to sell it later at an additional cost to other folks, like we do with some of our other content.
Cool. Will it stay as a print and play then for other people, or is that something just available?
So the print and play will always be available on the website for a couple bucks. But in addition to throwing the celebrity in the box as a thick placard and dice and a nice polished published product, say that 3 times mm-hmm. fast.
Yeah.
I'll put together, I don't know, a couple hundred extras that I'll bring as, promos to conventions for, people like the extra bling. But we always try to give our Kickstarter backers something extra for free because they're the ones that are making this project come to life. And quite frankly, they deserve something extra.
Love it. Yep. Yeah, very cool. I'm glad that you guys are doing that. That's exciting. So when you speak about coming to conventions and being able to hand out promos, when are you coming to TantrumCon?
Yeah, I have made the commitment to you to come to TantrumCon both of the years. I have been a complete and utter flake. And I literally was ready to make my payment to TantrumCon year 3. And then, we're in crazy times right now.
Yes.
So I guess the question for you is TantrumCon 3 going to happen?
Oh, man, good question.
Yeah, exactly, we're trying, right?
So. We are working hard. We're trying to do the due diligence. You'll be one of the first to know when we make the announcement.
Sure. What are the intended dates if it is going to happen? Do we know about yet?
February 4th through the 7th.
Of 2021. So hopefully everyone will be healed, vaccines will be invented, and we'll all be back to good, and we'll hang out at TantrumCon.
We'll see what happens.
If not, we're going to figure out some way to make it.
That's right.
We're still pretty pumped that TantrumCon 2020 was the best convention of 2020. If you could help us to continue to spread that news.
It's one of the only conventions of 2020.
Stop talking about that detail. That's not part of the details. Well, cool, man. So as part of our 3-year event, we are going to be doing that survey, which we mentioned earlier in the show. And it sounds like maybe we might be able to get a contribution from you as well for that one.
Absolutely. I am always happy to support Tantrum House with game or games or whatever you guys need.
Awesome. Cool. So everybody that's listening, be sure to note the fact that Endangered just got added to the stash. Thank you so much, Mark. What other cool stuff you got going on? Is there any other news we could talk about? What's the next hotness in the lineup?
Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to the hype that is Endangered New Species, just this past week, I signed a contract with the designer of Stroop, Jonathan Chaffer. He has actually designed an 18-card escape room game called The Kringle Caper. And as you might have guessed from the title, it is Christmas-themed, and we are going to turn it around in time so that customers, because it's not going to go on Kickstarter, will have it in their Christmas stockings, ideally to pull it out and play with their families on Christmas morning.
So, love it.
The escape room genre is not something we've dipped our toes into, but it is obviously something that a lot of gamers really love. It's obviously something that people can do with a close-knit, quarantine-friendly set of, friends or family, whoever they've been hunkering
right.
down with.
Whoever happens to be there Christmas morning.
What was that?
Whoever happens to be there Christmas morning, ready exactly. to go. Perfect. Yep.
And so this is just, it gives the full escape room experience. Those games usually hover right about an hour. And this is designed to fit in that in the space of only 18 cards. And, it's called The Kringle Caper. It's designed by Jonathan Chaffer, the designer of Stroop. And I'm really excited to bring this to fruition as well. Because like I said, this happened last week. I did not expect to have another project before the end of the year. And, again, we're not doing a Kickstarter for that. We'll simply set up pre-orders. That'll bring you directly to my website because there's really no time for all the Kickstarter craziness that goes into preparation of a campaign.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll direct order from your website. What's the best way for them to find out that information?
Sure. So we don't have the pre-order available yet. We're still putting together the visuals. We want to make sure we give a good, solid presentation. But the website will be grandgamersguild.com, and I'm sure we'll have some sort of suffix on that link with a dedicated pre-order page. Cool. If anyone wants to make sure they're 100% aware, you can always sign up for our e-newsletter at the website as well.
Oh, good. Great.
Very cool.
So give us one more time the rundown. Kickstarter this Tuesday, when this goes live in real time, maybe?
Yep. Tuesday, August 11th, 9 a.m., we'll be launching Endangered New Species, bringing at least 4 new species to gamers' tables everywhere.
Very cool. Can you tell us remind us again which animals were available in the base game?
The base game was tigers and sea otters. And actually, to be fair, there is also one expansion that is pandas, but that was a separate product as well.
Cool.
Well, cool, man. The artwork for this looks amazing. The gameplay, as we already know, is solid. So I'll be looking forward to being able to experience some new creatures in that space. Definitely best of luck on this campaign. I'm confident that you'll do well. How long of a campaign are you running?
Toying with that. Right now, I'm going to look at the traditional, 21 days. But I might even chop 7 days off of that just because it's an expansion. And I'm not quite sure, we don't want to let things go on too long. We just want to keep it moving.
Yep.
That's right.
Keep it tight. I think that's the new world. Do your homework in advance, which you're obviously doing. Build that audience, get that excitement going, and then launch it and finish it. So,
that's yep. Right. And then we have the ambassador cards that you can add to this game as well.
Tantrum House expansion cards.
Tantrum House promo
expansion.
Pack.
Yeah.
You can get those right now on GameFound.com if you head to Tantrum House's store there. We just finished up our Kickstarter a couple months ago, and you can get a late pledge.
Well, cool, Mark. If we don't see you at Tantrum Con, which is a ways out, we probably need to connect with you sometime soon on one of those wretched virtual systems because we need to play some games together, man.
I could dig that. I'm not much of an online gamer, but for the opportunity to hang out with you fine folks, I will put my curmudgeonly self away and come play with you.
We feel you. We're in that same boat. Actually, this might be cool. I need Kevin to establish the details, but I'm just going to toss it out there right now. We are doing our Tantrum House 24-hour game-a-thon, which is one of our Kickstarter backer rewards. It's coming September
18th.
Kevin could hear me from the other room. He's good to go. We might have to get you in on one of the games during that show. So keep the 18th free
totally
on that calendar.
Pony up for that. That would be awesome. Yes, definitely.
Can we put you
that.
Down for the 3 a.m. slot?
We're going to be playing Stroop at 3 a.m. with Mark Spector. Tune in. 24 hours. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a blast talking to you. Best of luck with this campaign. Very excited to see where it goes. Always great talking to you, and yes. We will definitely catch up with you in the very, very, hopefully, September near future.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Bye. Always cool hanging out with Mark and get a chance to talk with him. Hopefully we will be able to pull off Tantrum Con so he can join us. Stay true to his word. We're going to hold you to it, but we're super excited that he was willing to jump in and contribute to our survey. Before we talk about that, let's do a little Gen Con recap since we were a part of that. And then hang around for just a couple more minutes because then we'll tell you how you can send us your feedback and hopefully win some really cool gear.
Yeah, we got to play games all weekend long. Saturday was an 8-hour live stream, and we got sponsored by CGE to do a bunch of their games, and I think we had a great, great time playing a number of their games.
Yeah, so. It was really cool. This is the first time we've multi-platform streamed. So we were on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch all at the same time, trying to monitor all those channels and engage. That was a challenge by itself. It was interesting, though, and it was a lot of fun because we were getting feedback from people that we don't get on a lot of, you know, normal opportunities when we stream. We did play, 8 hours. A bunch of people came in. We kind of rotated throughout the day so we could get some new faces in front of the camera and had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Adrenaline, Zulkin, Galaxy Trucker, Letter Jam, Pictomania.
Sanctum.
I think me, Ryan, and Larry have like a special Sanctum bond at this point.
I've only ever completed the game with you two, and that means we're like blood brothers.
And it's happened twice now.
Yes. You're welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
Ryan demoed this at Gamma? No.
PAX.
You? 100 times.
Actually, you were mostly doing Sanctum.
I was
mostly doing Letter Jam. That was the weekend that I lost my voice on the first day before the con actually started.
That was perfect.
So Letter Jam was a little bit easier for me.
Less explaining.
All I heard was during the game that it's like, oh, whoever can make it to the end and not die wins. And then Ryan pulls out at the very end. Oh.
You noticed that too, huh?
Well, I was rereading the rules and it wasn't immediately clear to me when I was skimming it.
This happens a lot, it seems like, Ryan.
No, it's really convenient when you read a rule and it benefits you, and you're like, actually, I happen to be ahead, so I'm going to mention it.
I just happened to notice. Whoever has one health more than Will and Larry wins the game. But it was fantastic. We actually did all three pull it off, which is unusual. I did play it 100 times at not Gamma, PAX.
You.
Yeah, and demoed it a bunch of times. Only won it once or twice out of an entire weekend of nonstop playing. But I have beat it every time that I play with Larry.
They're probably cheating because the people at CGE aren't over Will's shoulders.
The other people were cheating? Like the other players? What? You were accusing all the...
It's not what I'm saying, Will.
I mean, I was playing it live in front of CGE's audience, so I feel like I couldn't cheat too much. Too much.
We also had an epic game of Galaxy Trucker.
Oh, yeah.
You
want to
see
this.
One of the biggest fails ever?
Poor Sarah.
Check out that video. I was a little greedy the second round, and I ended up losing my entire crew. So my ship was just drifting off into space, which meant I didn't get like any points that round. Ouch. I got like 3 points. And then the last round, my ship was just blown to bits.
There was some sabotage, and it took out a crucial part of Sarah's ship, which made her whole left half fall off.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sarah.
So, yeah, go back and watch that footage.
Redundancies into your ship when possible.
The other thing was this: I saw the most insane, crazy game of Pictomania I have ever seen. Ever. And I have demoed for CGE many years.
I won.
Good job. Good job, Amy Eggs.
Amy, mic drops and walks away. It was intense. I think we were all on like that final hour. It was like the 11th hour. Show's about to end. We actually didn't know whether or not they were going to like shut us off when the stream ended or what was going to happen. So we're trying to cram a game into the last 15 minutes. It was high octane illustration.
Yeah, we had some crazy drawings and some crazy interpretations of drawings, and it just kept building from there, and every round got harder and harder, and yeah.
It's definitely worth checking out. You can watch, we have the videos on our YouTube channel still, so if you go back and watch Gen Con Part 1 and Part 2, definitely check out Part 2 at the end.
Speaking of high octane, we have a 24-hour gaming marathon that we just sort of sealed in the calendar schedule for September 18th and 19th from 2 p.m. September 18th till 2 p.m. September 19th.
So crazy. Thank you, Kickstarter backers. Again, got to just keep giving that shout out. One of our Kickstarter stretch goals, the $24,000 stretch goal, was a 24-hour game-a-thon. We're going to be doing that live, maybe on multiple channels if I can get my computer set up. And we will be streaming from the house for a solid day. playing all kinds of cool games. We're working with sponsors right now to be able to get some games to give away to you guys. I think we may try to do a couple shout-outs to some charities and different things, and we'll pretty much just be hanging out, having lots of fun, talking to everybody, playing games all day long. Hopefully you'll join us for like the 3 a.m. shift when we're all about to pass out and we're surviving.
No, that's going to be the high energy games of Pictomania.
So you definitely don't want to miss it. Don't sleep Friday night. Come hang out with us. We'll give you more details as we get closer, but it's coming.
It's hilarious.
Or you could just be on the other side of the world and it could be daytime and you just enjoy your afternoon.
There you go.
I mean, the number of people who said I can come for the graveyard shift is astounding.
Everybody's off work.
Because Kevin's usually in bed by 10.
Right. Yeah, he's passing out.
I'm like, you guys can take it from midnight to 4 or 5 a.m. Good to you.
We'll be there and we will be having a blast.
Before we even get to that, though, we do want to do a giveaway. We want to celebrate our 3-year podcast anniversary. So go to our website, if you would, right now. If you've made it this far, we should have told you this earlier in the show. Go to tantrumhouse.com/survey. When you go there, you will find a survey that we've put together just kind of asking for your general feedback. How do you consume board game media? How much Tantrum House media do you consume? There's no right answers. I mean, if you say all of it, then that's right. But there's no wrong answers.
There are no right answers to this survey. It's a lose-lose. Good luck.
Zero-sum
no
survey.
No giveaways for you.
Anybody who does participate in that and sends us their information will be entered into a drawing, and we're going to be giving away, I don't even think we have the final cap details on it, but we're talking about like $200-$300 worth of merchandise. You heard Mark say earlier in the episode that we're going to give away a copy of Endangered, which is fantastic. We've got Tantrum House t-shirt we're going to throw in there, probably one of our bags. We've got
not only any Tantrum House t-shirt, like anyone that they want.
Of
in
your choice.
In the size that they want.
Yeah, so we'll have your contact information after this thing. We'll be able to reach out to you and ask you what size you want to wear. But no, we really are just looking for your feedback on ways that we can improve the show, things that matter most to you, because we've been doing this long enough that we've kind of gotten okay at lots of random stuff, and we really feel like it might be time to kind of hone in and really focus on some of the things that are most valuable to our audience. So we'd love to get your feedback. Please do take the time to go check that out. It would just take a couple minutes. Tantrumhouse.com/survey, and we will have some information there for you to fill out. Nothing, you know, literally we just need your email address so that we can contact you if you won. So please take a moment, fill it out, give us your feedback. We will probably leave it open for a week or two so that we can announce this on a couple other places as well. But big prize pack that we want to give away. And I hope that you personally, right now, you sitting there listening, win. That's all I can say. It's been an amazing 3 years. I can't believe that we've made it to this point. I'm very, very excited. We'll hopefully have news for you soon about Tantrum Con and what our plans are for that. Be sure to check out and put on your calendar that 24-hour game-a-thon. Thank you guys all for joining us tonight. Thank you, interns and friends, and Larry the second intern. Maybe that's the name. Or is it Salty Larry?
Salty Larry.
I like Sidekick.
Sidekick Larry does sound pretty cool. Sidekick Larry.
Listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.